is the story of Louis Hector Berlioz, who was supposed to be a doctor, but so loved music that he overcame all the difficulties put in his way and grew up to be one of the most famous composers of the past century. It was a happy childhood for the girls and boys in the home of Louis Berlioz, a well-known country doctor at Côte Saint-André. Their big house on the hill, overlooking the beautiful French countryside, was filled with laughter and with the sound of music. Taught to play different instruments. But only the oldest son, Hector, was outstanding right from the start. As a little boy, he had already begged and begged for music lessons from his father, who was quite a good amateur himself. And at the age of 10, Hector mastered the flute as well as the guitar so perfectly that his teachers no longer could show him a thing. Was not all. Hector could also sing almost every melody at sight. His pretty soprano voice was often heard at church services. How he adored the sound of these ancient hymns. He thought, must be how the angels sing in heaven. Would it not be wonderful if one could compose such divine music instead of just performing it? A melody like this. Upstairs into the doctor's room. Father, he shouted excitedly, if I get very good marks at school, may I study music also, but really well? I want to know all about writing tunes because, look, I made up a few. Are they any good? Well, my boy, said the doctor, what you have written here seems good enough to me. Surely you shall have harmony lessons, and later, when you will be studying medicine in Paris, you may even enter the conservatory and take a few courses in composition. But remember, just for a hobby, I want you to become a good doctor, as I am. This is the finest profession in the world. You can always enjoy music in your spare time. Surely, Father, anything you say, oh, I shall study hard, I promise. And so it came that a few years later, young Hector set out for the big city of Paris, which was famous for its fine medical school and also happened to be the center of musical life in Europe. ¶¶ 1920s was a wonderful place to live. There were elegant people, brilliant artists, and also young bohemians, gay as larks, even in their unheated garrets. Big parties, glittering balls, picnics in the Bois de Boulogne, boat rides on the Seine, great concerts and performances at the Opera Comique. Hector drank it all in. How often did he wish that the day had more hours? There was so much to do. Most of his time, he spent at the conservatory, in the composition class of Professor Lesueur, studying scores of Bach, Gluck, Haydn, and other great masters. Evening would find him at the opera, way up in the gallery with his student friends. Young Berlioz got so excited listening to music that he often forgot to eat or even to sleep. This is what he wanted to write. Great symphony, great choral works, great operas. He would be a composer and nothing else. His medical books remained unopened. He did not attend the lectures anymore. It was impossible for him to become a doctor and see sick, helpless people. But how would he ever tell his father? Later, Berlioz and his cousin Robert sat together in their modest room. This then, said Hector sadly, is father's reply to my letter. How I pleaded with him for permission to leave medical school, but no and no again. To him, I am an ungrateful son who has broken his promise. If I insist on studying music only, he will no longer send me any money, and I shall have to support myself. But what are you going to do? Oh, I shall manage. I can live on bread and fruit, at least during the summer, and I'll take on a few pupils. Perhaps there are some odd jobs at the theater to keep me going. You just wait. I'll show the world. Yes, Berlioz did show the world, but only after a long, hard struggle. The young composer was bursting with new, bold ideas. He created sound effects nobody had ever dreamt of. But his teachers believed in the old, traditional rules of harmony and form. Signor Cherubini, director of the conservatory and a famous composer himself, spoke angrily to Berlioz. You think you know better than the great classics. This music is horrible and unplayable. But listen, sir, please listen. The students are just rehearsing my new overture. Doesn't it sound exciting? My dear boy, for these compositions, you will never get the Rome Prize at the final competition. I know you are trying hard for it, and who wouldn't? 5 years scholarship for a stay in Rome and other centers of music. See to it that we can select you. Berlioz worked feverishly now, composing, teaching, and singing in the chorus of a shabby little theater just to make a few extra francs. There was no relaxation or pleasure, only occasionally an hour to read. He loved the works of the great poets, Shakespeare, Lord Byron, and Goethe. When an English company played Romeo and Juliet in Paris, Berlioz felt he had never seen anything more beautiful. He immediately fell in love with pretty young Henrietta Smithson, who played Juliet. "I am going to marry her," he said to himself, "and I will write my greatest symphony on that play." And he actually did both a few years later. Meanwhile, a wonderful thing happened to Berlioz. In 1830, he was finally selected for the Rome Prize after having been rejected 3 times. Now, the great reward was his. It is 1832. Berlioz has returned to Paris, happy after 2 wonderful years under the blue Italian skies. To see so much beauty had inspired him to write many new compositions. Now he was going to have them performed. This first concert turned out to be a big event. Every musician and music lover of distinction attended. Among them, the celebrated Liszt and his friend Chopin, Felix Mendelssohn, Auber, and the whole faculty of the conservatory. His parents, who long since had forgiven him for becoming a musician, were sitting proudly in the first row. And now, they all listened in hushed silence to the opening chord of the Symphonie Fantastique. successful was this marvelous work that in later years, Berlioz wrote a sequel to it called Lelio, or The Return to Life. After the first performance of the Symphonie Fantastique, a tall, dark-haired man embraced him and cried, "Here is a new genius. You must write a piece for me. I have a precious viola, but no real good music for it." It was Paganini, the greatest violin virtuoso of all times. Inspired by his praise, Berlioz wrote some exquisite solos for the viola into his new symphony, Harold in Italy, a work based on Lord Byron's poem, Childe Harold. One of his great works, the opera Benvenuto Cellini, was widely acclaimed. It was from a section of Cellini that Berlioz created one of his most popular compositions, the Roman Carnival Overture. Remember, he planned to write this composition on Shakespeare's drama some years ago. Well, Berlioz carried out his second resolution, too. He married the beautiful English girl, his Juliet and first love. A boy was born to the couple and named Louis after his grandfather. There was happiness in the small household, but money did not come as fast as fame. In order to add to his modest income, Berlioz took on work as a music critic for a newspaper, wrote several books on orchestration, and accepted the position of librarian at his old alma mater, the Conservatory. Thank you. With all these heavy duties, he seemed to create more beautiful compositions every year. In 1836, the French government commissioned Berlioz to write a Requiem Mass, which would be performed in memory of the war dead. Now, he could fulfill his dreams of writing sacred music and of using the largest orchestra ever assembled on the concert stage. The performance took place in the biggest church of Paris before all the princes, peers, deputies, and an immense crowd. It was a tremendous success. As his fame grew, Berlioz was invited all over Europe to conduct his own works. During his tours in Hungary, he heard the traditional Rákóczi March and found it such a brilliant piece that he arranged it for large orchestra. Later on, when Berlioz wrote his famous Damnation of Faust on the drama by the great German poet Goethe, he added the Hungarian March to it. To this very day, it is one of the most popular concert pieces. Became president and conductor of the Paris Philharmonic Society. Now he was really the leading French composer. So many medals and decorations were awarded him that he once said jokingly, "My chest looks like a hardware store." Nearly every great composer of the time became his friend and admirer. Schumann, Brahms, Mendelssohn, the young Richard Wagner, and many others. There were also the narrow-minded and unsuccessful musicians who begrudged Berlioz good fortune and envied him because he could write not only tremendous symphonies for oversized orchestras, but also melodies as pure and sweet as this one. Just heard was a part of the most lovable work Berlioz ever wrote, The Childhood of Christ. It tells the age-old story of Herod's cruel plan, of the flight into Egypt, and how the Holy Family at last found shelter in a kindly man's home. This work also contains a gay little dance for two flutes and harp, a real gem which is played for you now. Thank you. following years brought Berlioz more triumphs, more travels, more fame, but also great sadness. His wife, Henrietta, died in 1854, and so did his beloved son, a sea captain. Berlioz was deeply shaken, and his own health began to fail. Yet, he created three more masterworks, the Te Deum, the operas The Trojans in Cottage, and Beatrice and Benedict. By that time, his music had become very popular in America, and Berlioz received an urgent invitation to come to New York, but the sick master could no longer venture a trip overseas. On March 8, 1869, Berlioz died and was buried in Paris with all the honors due such a famous man. Among the pallbearers were some of the most eminent French composers. Misunderstood and even ridiculed in his earlier days for his bold and new ideas, Hector Berlioz ranks today among the greatest of the great composers.